Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.com. I hope this finds you well enough after what has been a fairly up and down week for the Arsenal, but there has been some Danielson-esque sideways movement too and a bit of diagonalism, and everybody needs more diagonalism in their life. It's true. There's been a lot going on, football-wise, which is good. We like to focus on the football, if at all possible, and not the nothing that happens, because you can get hung up on the nothing, and then the nothing becomes something until you realise that the something is actually nothing at all, and there's nothing you can do about the something which is nothing. So it's better just to focus on the actual something, the football. And we had that. We had Liverpool, Udinese away in the Champions League. We'll be looking ahead to Manchester United this Sunday at Old Trafford. And that's a bit scary at the time of recording, because there are injuries and suspensions and potential more injuries, and we'll have to see how all that goes. But really, there's not much we can do other than, well, just get on with it. So we'll be looking ahead to that game a little bit later on in the show. So let's start with Liverpool last weekend. And from a results point of view, it wasn't positive. But up to the point where we got the red card, I thought there were encouraging signs. I didn't think Liverpool looked that dangerous at all when it was 11v11. Now, that's not to say they were particularly good either. And for all the talk about us spending money, if we'd spent £35 million on Andy Carroll, I would be quite unhappy, I have to say. I know sometimes you hear the old phrase, he's got good feet for a big man. No, he doesn't. He falls over a lot. And he has all the ball control of a knock-kneed amputee elephant whose foot has been amputated and replaced by the foot of Sylvester, for example. Not good at all. And he wasn't particularly threatening apart from one header. And what was encouraging was the young guys that came into the team and really, really tried hard. He had Mikel, who came on when Koscielny got injured. Jenkinson starting the game. Frimpong, and we'll come to him in a moment. Really encouraging that they did well and didn't hide and tried their hardest. And the crowd as well was a tremendous positive, because they really were behind the team, really behind the team from the start. And it was interesting, because of all the negativity that's been around, it was interesting that the crowd were so positive and encouraging, and that was fantastic. And when you look at the interview that Samir Nasri gave to his new club, after he went there all summer and talked about, oh, how it was such a relief to get out of Arsenal, as if it was the worst place in the world to be. And when he spoke about, you know, the Arsenal fans, he said they're good fans, but they're not passionate. And frankly, that's wrong, because the Arsenal fans were right behind their team on Saturday, to the point where they also got behind Samir Nasri. Such was their passion for the team, and wanting the team to do well and perform, they willingly and consciously overlooked the fact that Nasri has been a complete and utter cunt all summer long. From the time he got a contract offer worth £90,000 a week and agreed that contract offer and then refused to sign it, having been tapped up, and we know he's been tapped up by Man City. It's obvious from what he said. It's obvious anyway, but it's obvious from what he said about who he was speaking to all summer long that he has been tapped up by Manchester City. He has acted the cunt, but the Arsenal fans, in support of their team, for the most part, ignored that. There was some muted boos when his name was read out, but when he played well and had a shot that went just wide, fans got behind him and applauded him. So for him to say that the Arsenal fans weren't passionate, well, that's a bit of a cunt's trick. But then what do you expect from a cunt who's acted like a cunt all summer long? Anyway, he's a thing of the past now. And we've got to look to the future. And we got a glimpse of the future as well, didn't we, with Frimpong? An all-action, whatever it was, 70 minutes or something that he played. The booking that he got was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, the first one, because he thought it was our throw and he thought the guy was holding on to it. And the ref should have just had a word, really, shouldn't he? Because there was something in midweek, I can't remember what I was watching. Oh, it was Spurs against United. And Kabul went head-to-head. He stuck his head in on Nani, I think it was. And the ref came over and had a word and said, look, you can't do that. And didn't book either of them. And, you know, if that sort of common sense applied throughout the game, Frimpong would have lasted 90 minutes and Arsenal probably would have got a result on Saturday. The tackle, well, that's what happens when a 19-year-old who's pumped up and full of energy and eagerness and willingness to kick people up in the air simply because they don't wear an Arsenal shirt, well, you know, that's the danger. And the paucity of options that we had means that we couldn't really replace him. So it was a bit unfortunate, but, you know, he got a good ovation going off because people saw that he really gave everything for the Arsenal. And his comments in midweek on Twitter were absolutely fantastic when Wilshere said, oh, goodbye to Nasri, wish him luck. And Frimpong goes, come on, Jack. And that's what we want. We want more of that. Less of the hugging the likes of Joey Barton and Nasri and more kicking them up in the air. Frimponging them right in their fucking frimpongs. That's what it's all about. But anyway, disappointing a result on Saturday, but still some encouragement. And of course, it was always nice to be there and have beers with people. And that's always fun too. And then midweek, Champions League, first half against Udinese. I can't be alone in thinking I sort of feared the worst for the second half. The way things have been going recently, it wouldn't have been at all surprising if we'd huffed and puffed our way through that second half and not found a goal. And while we were pushing forward, got caught on the break and let in one and gone out. And it just wouldn't have been a surprise. But it was a great second half, a really good show in the second half. And, you know, the obvious deficits we have in terms of quality are still there. And we all know that. But there was much more spirit and much more character about the side. The goals were good. And maybe, just maybe, that penalty save is something of a turning point in our season. Not just our season, but in this sort of terrible run of form that we've been on since the Carling Cup final. And it was fantastic from Chesney. And it really is a measure of him that, you know, sometimes you need a big player to step up and do something, and often it's the striker or it's the midfielder, the guy who creates or the guy who scores a goal. But surely there was as much encouragement from that penalty save as there would be from any other kind of impact another player could have on the pitch. So absolutely fantastic to see. And I think once we went ahead, that was it, and showed some really great maturity in just basically killing off the game and not letting Udinese back into it, making sure that what we had, we held. So it means we go into the Champions League again. The draw was yesterday. We got Dortmund, Marseille, and Olympiacos. Could have been worse. Could have been better, some people will say. Look at Man United. They got FC Basel and Gloshnov Mirfiterf, whoever that is. I don't know who that is. And I'll tell you why I don't know who that is because they're nobody. And who the fuck wants to go and see nobody? When you're playing in Champions League football, you want to see good games of football. Yeah, on one hand, it could be easier to get through if you're playing Grushevnov Nif-Nif. But at the same time, wouldn't you rather play a good team and see a good game of football and see the team really tested? How does a team grow? How does a team gain experience if they win 8-0 against Nisniflablova, you see? But if you're playing Dortmund or Marseille or Olympiacos, you know you're going to be tested, home and away. And it's up to us to come through those tests. And I'd rather we did that than play Flopadov Nisni, you see? So that's what I'm thinking. That's my thinking on the Champions League draw. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to see what sort of a team we have to put out in those Champions League games. So generally speaking, it's been up and down this week, up and down. There's been good, there's been bad. And funnily enough, that's kind of what happens in general in football, isn't it? Some good, some bad. If you expect all good, then pretty much everything is bad all the time. And what tends to happen is if things are bad all the time, you end up writing a blog with loads of exclamation marks. And let's face it, nobody needs that. Right, coming up, we'll be talking to Tim Stillman about the week that was. Right now, though, Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's me 20-second roundup. Liverpool, we gotta win this. We haven't. Oh, Jesus. Now we've got Champions League in midweek. I'm so worried. 1-0 down at halftime. Oh, Jesus, we're going out of Europe. Penalty save. 2 goals. We're in there. Fucking deadly. We're deadly again. Nasri gone to Man City. Says Arsenal fans have no passion. No passion, eh, Nasri? We'll all make love to you all night long. Then slap the tits out of you. Then come back and talk to me about passion, you chinless cunt. I'd be doing it for the team.
More from that guy on next week's Arscast. Still to come, a look ahead to the weekend's fixture. Well, it's nothing really. Only the champions at Old Trafford. That's still to come, and an old friend returns. But now, to talk about all the bits and pieces that have gone on from Vital Arsenal, and also a columnist on this very blog, Tim Stillman. Hello there.
Good evening.
Champions League qualification, let's start with that. You were away in Udinese enjoying all the sunshine and wine and the football in the second half in particular. Result and performance maybe are secondary to the fact that we've actually qualified for the Champions League for the 15th consecutive season, and at a time when things at the club are a little bit troubled, you might say. I don't think you can overstate the importance of that qualification.
Not at all, and it just seems to have lifted a little bit of the gloom around the club. Speaking to a lot of people after the Liverpool game on Saturday, a lot of people, myself included, very, very worried about this second leg. Very uptight about it. And actually, I thought it was by comfortably our best performance this season. We looked a bit better going forward. Jovinho really kind of added something. And even when we went 1-0 down, I didn't actually feel that worried because I always felt there was a goal in it. And if you're looking for little moments that can turn your season sometimes, Szczesny's penalty save might well be that. It might well be the making of what looks like a fantastic goalkeeping career for him. But it might just be a little turning point for us because we just scored in the game. Things were going along quite nicely, and then we get that setback with the penalty, and had Udinese scored that, we could have been in for a very bumpy ride. But that save just completely knocked the life out of them, and it's kind of symptomatic of that young man's form so far this season.
I mean, it is true that, you know, things can turn so quickly in football when you look at how well Arsenal were going until the Champions League or the Carling Cup final, and that moment towards the end of the game, which won it for Birmingham. Sometimes you need something like that again to lift you out of it, and maybe that penalty save will do that for Arsenal, which is that was a brilliant save. I mean, they showed great character as well because, you know, in the first half we played very well and probably should have been ahead before they scored, and it would have been very easy for heads to go down, I think. You know, but they came out second half, manager made a good change, Rosicki coming on for Frimpong, and I don't think anybody really would have seen Rosicki as a game changer, but he really did make a difference, and I think it sort of sparked life into the team in general.
No, I think so, and I think I've always been a big fan of Rosicki, actually, even since he's come back from the injury. I think he started last season very, very well. It's clear that he can't do 90 minutes anymore. I think his injuries have kind of curtailed that. But I think if we're looking for a good, experienced squad player who's got a lot of quality, I think Rosicki is a valuable member of the squad. And I'm really pleased that that's been recognised, actually, because I think he's one of the few players, actually, that really does kind of try and push the team on, really tries to push the team forward with his passing. I'd perhaps like to see him be a bit more speculative with attempts on goal occasionally. But nevertheless, I think he just speeds up our play a little bit in the midfield sometimes where we can be a little too ponderous. And I think he really, really added that, and he really helped us change the game. And when you've got players like Jovinho and Walcott in there who, you know, rely on that kind of pace in the game, who can really cause damage, and both of them did in the end, actually.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about taking shots. The first goal came from a Rosicki shot, which was blocked from about 25, 30 yards. So, interesting. Let's be happy with Champions League qualification and look back towards Saturday when Arsenal played Liverpool. And 11v11, I thought it was a fairly even game. Neither team was particularly great, but I didn't really feel in any way that Arsenal were under pressure. Frimpong got a red card, and I suppose a deserved red card given the fact that he was on a yellow. We can dispute the first yellow all we want. A measure of, I suppose, of his inexperience But what's really interesting to me is that despite the fact he got sent off, and his sending off had such an impact on the game, because, you know, I won't say it cost us the game, because that's not fair, and I'm not trying to blame him in any way. What's interesting is the fact that he generates support from the fans pretty much unanimously, because the effort and the heart, and you could see how much it meant to him to be out there. And if he was a little overzealous, well, maybe he'll learn from that. I think he said on Twitter already he'll learn from that, on top of some other really entertaining things on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see a player like that, isn't it, who's done something that perhaps another player might have got slaughtered for, but everyone is behind him.
And actually, I think actually the crowd on Saturday recognised that throughout the whole team. The crowd actually really seemed to stay with the team, despite the fact that, you know, we didn't really look that impressive, and neither did Liverpool. Ultimately, right, the sending off coupled with Suarez coming into the game really changed it. And actually, it was the level of inexperience that lost it in the end. It wasn't just the Frimpong sending off, but you look at the first goal. Ramsey's 19 years old. He's not tracked his man in Morelos. Ball comes to Mikel in the area. He's 19 years old, doesn't want to clear the ball on his weak foot, so takes a heavy touch. And actually, there's just a combination of areas that slightly more experienced players wouldn't have made. But I think we all recognised that, and I think we all recognised actually the effort that a lot of young lads put in. Lansbury came on, Jenkinson came into the game, and I think we all realised that there was no shortage of effort or heart there. The supporters were quite generous. I tend to think actually we recognise that the manager put a lot of them in quite an unfair position. You know, like I said, with Ramsey showing a bit of inexperience, not tracking a run, who's covering in? Another 19-year-old boy is covering in after another 19-year-old boy's just been sent off, and it was just a little bit too much. And I think we all recognise that wasn't the player's fault so much. But going back to Frimpong, it was a very, very encouraging performance. I think what really kicked him on was, I think he had a strike on goal from about 25 yards, kind of halfway through the first half. And that generated kind of a lot of support from the fans, and that really seemed to lift him up a little bit. And you could really see him kick on and try and drive the midfield forward. And ultimately, he over-enthusiastic, but I think we all realise that someone who's making their Premiership debut is probably going to be inclined to make errors like that, and but they're errors of the heart, really, which I think can be forgiven. But I've been impressed with what I've seen of him, certainly so far this season.
All right, the squad we'll come to in just a couple of moments' time, and a man who did play on Saturday was Samir Nasri, and now is a Manchester City player, and that's not really a surprise to anybody. We knew that was coming all summer. To be fair to Nasri, he had a good game and he got a good reception from the fans. So it was a little bit, I suppose, galling to hear him talk about how Arsenal fans aren't as passionate as Manchester City fans, and, you know, especially since they moved from Highbury, given all his great experience of Highbury. What are your general thoughts about Nasri, the way it's been handled, and what it means for the team and perhaps the manager as well?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is, I totally agree with the sentiment. On Saturday, he actually played really well, and there were some kind of chants against him at Newcastle, and he obviously picked up on that. But actually, he played well on Saturday, and that was recognised, and the supporters were generous. And I came out and I thought, that's probably going to be his last game for us. That's probably a fair place to leave it now. And therefore, the comments are just totally unnecessary in that light. I think he'd made his point. And he didn't really need to say that. As for what it means for the squad, now I think Nasri is a very, very good player. He's very replaceable, though. To get £24 million for someone in the last year of their contract is exceptional business. But it's only good business if we use the money. And I'm scratching my head like a lot of people, I think, at the moment, and thinking, why wasn't this done in June? Manchester City wanted him in June. We knew he wasn't going to sign a contract. We're probably going to get the same kind of money for him.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
We could have had this done and dusted by now. And Fabregas, that was a harder situation transfer-wise because Barcelona weren't playing ball and we weren't in the driving seat. But with Nasri, I think it's been very messily dealt with by the club, actually, by the board and the manager. I think they've been caught between two stools because I think Wenger was adamant he didn't want to lose Cesc and Nasri at the same time. And actually, I think his heart overruled his head in that situation. Now he's lost both of them and he's got very little time to replace them both. And I don't think many of us are confident, given what's happened this summer, that they are going to be replaced. because I just don't understand why the business hasn't been done. Maybe there are reasons for it, but in lieu of an answer, I find it a bit baffling, to be honest. I think Nasri should have been out the door quite a long time ago.
I think that was the general plan for Nasri and Clichy to go much sooner than they did. They did the Clichy business earlier. But I think, there's an issue with Manchester City, and I think Nasri's comments where he spoke about how he'd been talking to Toure and Clichy and Patrick Vieira all summer long, would give you an idea of why the fee was quite so high, because Manchester City don't want Arsenal to make a fuss about the fact that, you know, he's clearly been tapped up. But when we talk about new players and you know, while we can admire the spirit and the character of the team on Wednesday night against Udinese, the season is long and the season is difficult, and you need some experience and you need some quality. And when you do let Fabregas go and when you let Nasri go, regardless of what you might think about why they went or however we might justify it, both players leave a gap in the squad. Aside from that, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to name any names because we're getting into pure speculation there. But in terms of positions, you know, with Arsene with £80 million in his pocket, where would you like to see players come in?
To be honest, realistically, it's not going to happen. I think four or five need to come in, really. I think we're desperate for a left-back. Kieran Gibbs is a good left-back, but, I mean, he's not a good left-back when he's not playing. And he's done very little to prove, unfortunately, that he can get anything close to a full season. And, I mean, we were discussing this on Wednesday night. Sanya's in at left-back, Jenkinson's playing. That's quite a makeshift back four, but it's only one injury that's caused that.
Well, it's telling as well, isn't it, that he won't play Armand Traore, who's a left back, whether it's injury or whether it's just because it's Traore, we don't know.
No, exactly, and there's a level of trust he obviously doesn't have to shift the whole back line like that just because of one injury. I'd really like to see a left back come in. I would like to see a reinforcement in, perhaps, in defensive midfield, as good as Frimpong's been. But really, for me, it's the creative edge of the team. And I've always thought that even if Fabregas and Nasri were to stay, I'd have still brought another creative player in, because I think the burden on Sex was just too much, albeit he handled it manfully. But we just became too one-dimensional going through him. And I think we've seen a bit of a shift in that the managers kind of look to bring pace in, bring a bit more pace and penetration to the forward line. And that paid dividends last night, I think. But I still think we need someone to provide those bullets. And I know you can't go and replace Cesc like for like, because that player doesn't exist, unfortunately. And even if he did, he's out of our price range. So, I mean, whether it's one single player that replaces Cesc or whether it's two or three, we've changed the emphasis of the team, I don't know. But what's clear is you lose players like Fabregas and Nasri, who are both bona fide first choice. They have to be replaced. It's as simple as that. And they have to be replaced with quality. So I think certainly the creative side of the team is of the utmost importance at the moment, even more important than a centre-back, I'd say.
All right. Well, we've got 5 days till the transfer window closes, so we'll just have to wait and see what they've got up their sleeves. Before we touch very briefly on Manchester United, you're a traveller, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. Champions League draw, Dortmund, Marseille and Olympiacos. Your thoughts on the draw in general?
Yes, very good. As you point out, I kind of look at a draw with two heads on, because I didn't get to Dortmund the last time we played there, and I've never been to Marseille, so some great trips there. Athens is a beautiful city. On paper, the draw, I think it's a fairly tough one. I think it was looking nice until Dortmund came out of the hat there at the end, and that's made it a slightly more interesting draw, I think. But ultimately, it's a group we should be qualifying from, and we should be winning, really, because in the group stages, as we know very well, you look at your home game, I'd expect 7 points at the very least out of our home games. I'd expect to be able to go to Olympiacos away, which I believe is now confirmed as the last game in the group. I'd expect to be able to go there. I'd hope we'd be able to go there and not really need anything. But I think it's a decent group in that there's nothing to be taken for granted there. There's three good sides there. Mm. I think there's three sides that we're better than. But, we took our eye off the ball last year in that group stage. And we started to underestimate teams like Shakhtar and Braga. I'd like to think that wouldn't happen this time, actually. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Dortmund came out at the end. I think that might keep us on our toes.
No easy games, that's for sure. Finally then, very quickly, Manchester United away. I suppose the difference between the two sides over the summer couldn't be more marked. United win the title, go out and buy two or three top quality players, spend millions and millions of pounds. Arsenal failed to win the title, slip down to fourth, sell their best players and are sitting on a pile of cash. We've got a lot of suspensions and possibly a lot of injuries. It's going to be a huge test, isn't it, for whatever team goes out there? Because at this point, maybe we could be surprised, but at this point, it doesn't really look like there's going to be any new arrivals between now and that game.
No, certainly not. Certainly not enough time to bed them in any serious way. You're right, it's a huge test, and I think we'd all be delighted with a draw if you gave it to us now. The only thing that may work in our favour is I think Ferguson's had us worked out the last couple of years. For example, in the FA Cup game, we all looked at the team that Ferguson picked for that FA Cup tie and thought, oh, he's picked a bit of a reserve team. Actually knew exactly what he was doing. He put three defenders in his midfield. And that was by design. That was quite intentional because it suits their kind of counter-attacking game against us. But maybe we're a bit of an unknown quantity to them now. I think it's very unfortunate Jovinho can't play, because I've been quite impressed by what I think he can bring us in terms of penetration in the final third. I'd be delighted with a draw, personally, and then to kind of go into the international break and really build on that. I'm not too hopeful, if I'm absolutely honest. But the last time we won there, we were in a very similar position. I think we hadn't won our first three games. I think we were in the bottom four at the time of kickoff. So you know, maybe history will repeat itself, but I wouldn't put money on it, personally.
All right. I think I know where you're coming from there, all right. We better leave it there. Tim Stillman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Tim Stillman. You can find him on Vital Arsenal, writing stuff for them. Also on Twitter, it's Little Dutch VA. That's his Twitter account. He's also doing stuff, I believe, for Gingers for Limpar. What a total slut. And of course, that's his Ars Blog column, which you can find on arsblog.com every single week. We'll catch up with him as the season progresses. Now, though, this.
Hello. I am the penis of William Gallas. Now, I know that many of you think that I am a total dick. And to be fair, you are right. I am. But also, I think that I should be given some credit for remarkable insight into the character of some of my teammates. For many years, I had a problem with the penis of Samir Nasri. I told everybody, this Nasri, he is big trouble, but nobody listened. They say, penis of William Gallas, you are such a dick, we are not going to listen to you talking about the penis of Samir Nasri. But I would tell them how he would come into the showers, and he would steal my bottle of Lynx and simply laugh when I challenged him. Ah, he would say, I am the penis of Samir Nasri, and I come from Marseille. There is nothing you can do, penis of William Gallas. But I am an old and experienced penis. I know that if you give someone time, their true colors will show through. And so it has come to pass with the penis of Samir Nasri. He has gone to Manchester for the money, and also for the money. I think the one thing we can all take from this is that the penis of Samir Nasri is such a dick. He has become a cunt. On the plus side, the next time I see him and tell him to go fuck himself, he might actually be able to do it.
So, looking ahead to the weekend, well, it could be easier, you have to say. At this particular moment in time, there's no injury news, but Koscielny is out, or has been out, from last Saturday. We don't know if he's going to be back. There was some talk that Thomas Vermaelen was a doubt. Arsene Wenger saying that they were looking to take him off the other night against Udinese, so whether he's fit enough to play remains to be seen. Song is suspended. Gervinho is suspended. Gibbs, probably broken, you would have to say. So it's all a bit up in the air in terms of what we have and who we have available. And whether or not we get some new players in between now and then remains to be seen. I wouldn't necessarily be optimistic about that. David Miles, the club secretary, was talking yesterday at the UEFA draw and saying that while the transfer window is open, the club are still ready for business. But I think we needed players this week for this game at Old Trafford on Sunday. We head into an interlull after this game, and it would be nice to go into it without the misery and doom of a defeat. I'd take a draw, wouldn't leave us in great position at this moment in time, but there's still a long way to go in the season, provided, of course, that we did some business between now and the end of the transfer window. I would take a draw. I would take a not big defeat as well, almost. I'm a little bit afraid of what might happen on Sunday, given the state of our squad at this moment in time. And that's why I think it really, really is incumbent on the manager and the board to take the money that's available to them and spend it and make sure that we've got as strong a team as we can possibly have going into this season, because we got away with it on Wednesday night against Udinese. We did really well, and I'm not trying to take away from that performance, but you can't expect that every game. And when the replacements that we have are quite young and inexperienced, We saw what inexperience did on Saturday against Liverpool. The money is there to make signings, and the signings should be made. I know that we were after a centre-half this week. We went to the club, we were talking with them, but apparently they wanted too much money for this particular centre-half with only a year left on his contract. And I don't know what to say. Maybe we ought to just say, well, look, if we want the player, we might have to pay a little bit more than we would like to. Because A, we need the players. B, everyone knows you've got a load of money. And C, that's kind of what happens. That if we all value a player this or that, chances are he's going to sell for a bit more, just because that's the way the transfer market works. So realistically, we might have to just swallow our pride a bit and pay the money that we have to pay. I think we need three or four players. Tim said four or five earlier on. I think three, four would do it. We need a left back. We need a centre half. We need a creative midfielder. We may need a defensive midfielder. And I think we need another striker as well. But with Bendtner not going anywhere, it seems, he could well be part of the squad. I know that won't please a lot of people, but, you know, to me, he's good backup. And if we're going to play him in the central role, as and when we might need him, that's fine. Playing him as a winger doesn't do anyone any favours. Not us, not Bendtner, not anyone. But as a backup centre-forward, I think we could do a lot worse. And, you know, I think we need somebody other than Shamak to fill in for Robin van Persie as the season progresses. So let's hope between now and the end of the transfer window the club get their act together. If they're waiting for the Champions League qualification, they've now got it. There's no excuse not to spend the money. The team needs it. It needs it. There's no other way around that. We're injury prone. We're light on players. We've lost two of our very, very best players. Well, one of our very, very best players, that's Cesc, and we've lost a good player on his day, and that's Nasri. We've seen them come and go, and he is quite replaceable. And maybe Gervinho is actually the replacement, but we do need somebody to replace Cesc in midfield, or maybe one or two players. There's talk about this guy, Yann Mavilla, or Mavilla from Rennes, or Rennes, or who? I don't know how you pronounce it, but that's where he comes from. And maybe the idea is to play this double holding midfielder and move Jack Wilshere forward, because that's Jack's natural game. It's more naturally attacking than defensive. So we'll have to wait and see, but I still think we need a signing in there. So let's hope that the manager can get that sorted, maybe before Sunday. If not before Sunday, it's Wednesday at midnight. That's when the transfer window closes. If we don't make signings before then, well, results will dictate what happens. But if we show a little bit of ambition and go out and spend some money, then there's a bit of leeway for everyone involved. If we don't, every single bad result is going to be blamed on the fact that we haven't spent money and we've gone into a new season through a transfer window and made a profit of £80 million. I don't know any other club at which that might happen. So I hope it won't happen at Arsenal. I hope this time next week we're talking about all the new players that we've got and how we're going to fit them into our side. So fingers crossed for Sunday that we can get something out of this game. A win would be amazing. A draw would be fantastic. A defeat, well, I don't even want to think about it. But I'm not terribly hopeful about Sunday. But anyway, you never know. They could take on the spirit and character of Wednesday night in Udinese and the confidence that might bring. And maybe we can just surprise Manchester United and maybe just surprise ourselves as well. So I'm going to keep everything crossed for that. In the meantime, have yourselves a great weekend. Talk to you on next week's Arscast. Until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Do you, Frimpong, take this Frimpong to Frimpong and to Frimpong, in Frimpong and in Frimpong, till Frimpong do you Frimpong?
I Frimpong.
And do you, Frimpong, take this Frimpong to Frimpong and to Frimpong, in Frimpong and in Frimpong, till Frimpong do you Frimpong?
I Frimpong.
By the Frimpong vested in me by Frimpong, I now pronounce you Frimpong and Frimpong. You may now Frimpong the Frimpong.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.